Brad Wilson, candidate for U.S. Senate, is wrapping up his visit to each of Utah's 29 counties with a visit to Rich County this Friday. Brad Wilson campaign has reached out to us to discuss his impression and what he has learned during his visits. As a Republican, Brad Wilson has served the U.S. House District 15 representative since 2017. He was elected House Speaker in 2019 and served there until November of 2023. Brad Wilson is now running for the U.S. Senate seat being vacated by Senator Mitt Romney. Good afternoon. I'm Steve Evans with News Talk 104.5 FM KVEL. Brad Wilson, thank you for reaching out to us and welcome to the Uinta Basin this evening.
Steve, it is always great to be with you and the good listeners of KVEL.
What surprised you most about your visits to rural counties within our state? Understanding there's a difference between rural and metro counties.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say I was terribly surprised by anything that I heard, but I sure have enjoyed visiting all of Utah's 29 counties. We've made it a point to travel from the top of the state to the bottom and everywhere in between, and it has been such a great experience to listen to people, understand their concerns and what they really want to see changed in D.C., and without a doubt, they are frustrated with Washington, D.C., and feel like they're not being listened to, and that government is taking us down a bunch of dead-end streets, that we need some Congress, some people to go back there and get that place fixed.
The Wasatch Front has record growth in the past 10 years. Can the Wasatch Front continue to support that growth, and should some of that growth be directed to rural Utah?
You know, the Wasatch Front has had tremendous growth, and it's because of our incredible people here, our great economy, our business-friendly regulatory environment. The legislature continues to reduce taxes, which I started when I was Speaker of the House, and all those things add up to people wanting to be in Utah. I do think there's an opportunity for growth in Utah to be more in rural Utah, but Steve, I have to tell you that, honestly, as I've traveled around the state and talked to a lot of people in rural Utah, they're not so sure they want a lot of people moving there. They kind of like it the way that it is. So I guess we'll see where these new folks end up moving to. And I think regardless of where people move, one of the things that matters a lot is that when these people come to Utah because they're trying to flee big government in other states, that they don't try to change us when they get here. They don't want to change us to the things they're trying to get away from when they arrive.
Do you feel that we have the infrastructure in place to accommodate growth in rural Utah?
Well, I think there's always room for additional investment. You know, for example, we've invested hundreds of millions of dollars over the last few years into fiber optic and high-speed internet throughout rural Utah. But that's just one piece of the puzzle. There's obviously transportation investment and things like that that can always be more. But I do think on balance, the state's been managing that pretty well.
Brad Wilson, Friday, the U.S. Senate passed a $1.2 trillion spending bill. Senator Romney voted for it. Senator Lee, I believe, voted against it. How would you have voted and why?
Yeah, I would have voted against that bill, Steve, and here is why. We are giving our kids $34.5 trillion of debt. The interest on that national debt exceeds the entire Department of Defense budget. In fact, it's the second biggest line item in the federal government budget, second only to Social Security. And that bill was woefully inadequate in terms of getting spending under control and reducing the amount of debt that's being added to that our kids are going to have to pay back. And we need some people in Washington that are going to really lean into cutting spending, making the hard decisions, and holding people accountable for living on tighter budgets. It's what we've done in Utah. It's what we did when I was Speaker of the House, and it's what we need someone to go back to Washington and do. And that's why I'm excited about my campaign and what we're looking to do when we get back to Washington.
Brad Wilson, I understand there's a lot of pork that was included in that spending bill, including more student loan debt forgiveness. $130 billion has already been forgiven, and billions more are included in this budget right before the election. What are your thoughts about that? Should a farmer or a truck driver be paying off someone else's debt for school?
Absolutely not. And I've been opposed to these student loan forgiveness programs that Biden's been doing. They've been political stunts on his part. He continues to do them. And they're not being done for any other reason than they think he scores political points with them. It's D.C. politics at its worst. And not only should, you know, farmers and ranchers from rural Utah that either paid back their student loans or didn't get student loans, they shouldn't be paying them back, but neither should the millions of Americans that have already paid back their student loans. So there are ways to help people get an education. Forgiving student loans is not one of them.
When you worked in the House, you worked with Representative Scott Chu. What are your feelings about Scott Chu? Everybody laughs when I ask that question. He's a really great guy to get along with, isn't he?
Oh, he's absolutely the best. And you know, we've had he and his wife over to our home a couple of times, and we just love him and Tammy, and they're really good people, hard workers, and he brings a real world perspective of someone that's on a ranch, you know, year round, doing the hard work of rural Utah. And we value Scott's opinion in the state tremendously. And Scott's a big supporter of mine and my Senate campaign, which I feel very fortunate to have his support. But part of the reason why is I think he knows that I've listened and worked closely with rural Utah leaders for a long time. And we need someone back in Washington that's going to continue to do that.
Scott, Representative Scott Chu addressed the Vernal Area Chamber of Commerce meeting on Tuesday, along with Senator Ron Winterton. This is what Representative Chu, this was part of his statement that he made. And I'd like to read it to you and then allow you to comment on it. I'm there to make sure that they realize, meaning the House, I'm there to make sure that they realize that there are more places where water is important than just Salt Lake and St. George. We are important out there, he said. The water for the whole state starts in rural Utah, and I'm concerned that we don't get our fair share. Agriculture is on the forefront of water conservation, and agriculture is the only reason we've got our fingers on the Colorado River water. Otherwise, California would have it all. He said, agriculture is not the villain, agriculture is the hero. Would you like to comment on that?
I agree with what Scott's saying about the benefits of agriculture. I got very frustrated a few years ago when I kept hearing from people that agriculture was the responsible party for our water shortages, and I actually wrote an op-ed for the Deseret News explaining why I think that agriculture is the solution in so many ways to our challenges and the remarkable partner that agriculture has been in our state. And Scott's right. Representative Chu is right. I mean, there are times when the Wasatch Back and other places in Utah's water needs are maybe not talked about enough. But I do think that we've got an opportunity here in this state to elevate everyone's water challenges. And it's part of the reason why I ran the Colorado River Authority bill, establishing that authority, which is now negotiating with the other six states to protect Utah's water rights for a generation. And that will definitely impact Flaming Gorge as well. And so, you know, these water issues are interrelated with each other, and we've got to have people elected to federal office that understand how this system works.
Many of Donald Trump's opponents are taking to the federal courts to, it would seem, to punish the former president and divert his attention away from his campaign. And seemingly, it would appear to hurt his campaign. Now, an appeals court just slashed former President Trump's $454 million judgment bond to $175 million this morning. What are your feelings? I mean, similar to what the environmental groups are doing, what are your feelings about that? And was the Trump trial and subsequent judgment fair and impartial, or was it politically motivated?
Well, I think we know for sure that politics has been at play here, and politics at its worst. We have a two-tier justice system in many ways, and President Trump has been the victim of that in more than one instance. And, I mean, you see just today this judgment getting slashed by more than half. And even then, you know, I think it's arguable whether or not that's legitimate. But if that can happen in the 11th hour, it just reeks of politics at its worst. And, you know, the left is so concerned about President Trump winning election this year. They see that he's winning in the polls. They see that he's ahead because his policies have this country in a better place. and they're doing everything they can to put obstacles in his way, to distract him, to cost him money, to cost him time. And that's not the way these types of things should be dealt with. And we've seen, you know, time after time, the Supreme Court had to come and wade in and let states know that, you know, they can't kick Donald Trump off the ballot. I mean, it's just, it's nonsense to the 11th degree in every way, shape, or form. And the good news is, I think those of us that are conservatives are supporting the president. We want to see him get elected this year. We're not being distracted by these things, and hopefully we can move past them so we can get to the real issues that the American people care about, which is the future of this country, the future of spending in this country, the future of how we're going to defend this country, all things that President Trump has been strong on in the past.
Brad Wilson, the weaponization of other federal agencies, including the IRS, the Department of Justice, Environmental Protection Agency, and even the FBI, against political opponents, namely Donald Trump, and many of private citizens are being harassed by federal agencies. What are your feelings about this, and what could you do to prevent this as senator?
Well, we know this is happening. We've got more instances than we'd like to care to admit of these alphabet soup agencies stepping outside of their lane of causing difficulties for American citizens, American businesses, and the list goes on and on. You know, I have, in addition to visiting all 29 counties, one of the things I've done, Steve, over the course of the last 6 months is I've stopped and talked to a lot of everyday citizens and businesses. And especially with businesses, I ask them, do you have any issues with the federal government? And every time I ask that question, I get an earful from these small business owners across rural Utah and suburban and metropolitan Utah. Every business in this state has headwinds and obstacles that the federal government's putting in front of it. And it's these bureaucracies. It's not Congress passing laws. It's bureaucracy getting well beyond their responsibilities, well beyond the power that they've been giving, and writing rules that are affecting people's liberties, that are affecting people's businesses, and making it harder for the American dream to become a reality. And we've got to send someone back to Washington in the U.S. Senate seat that we're electing this year that's got experience reining bureaucracy in, cutting budgets of bureaucracies when they get out of hand, bringing them in front of legislative hearings to hold them accountable for doing things that they haven't done. All of those things are things that I've been involved with as a lawmaker here in the state of Utah. The power to govern belongs with those we elect, not unelected bureaucrats. And that's a strategy the left is using more and more, and we've got to have strong leaders in Washington that are going to push back on it.
A recent terror attack in Moscow at a concert hall. Are we more vulnerable than we were 4 years ago?
Well, we are for sure. And it is, Steve, it's because Joe Biden opened up the border 3 years ago, and we've had 10-plus million people enter this country illegally. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they are. We don't know what they're up to. Just last year, Border Patrol agents arrested 170 individuals that were on the terrorist watch list trying to cross our southern border. Those are the 170 we caught. We don't know who crossed the border that we didn't catch. And we are in a very vulnerable spot right now because of the Biden administration. It's just one of the many reasons why we can't afford four more years of Joe Biden in the White House. He has the power to secure our borders now. He just won't. And we need to also have a senator back in Washington that we elect this year that's going to go back and make closing the border one of their biggest priorities, and then also a priority of fixing the legal immigration system, which has been broken in this country for decades.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott has been very aggressive as how he's handled the border crisis along in his state. Do you support the actions by Texas Governor Abbott?
You know, it's been said that since Biden opened up the border, every state is a border state, and I think that there's some truth to that. We've seen a lot of illegals flowing into Utah as well, and it's affecting our criminal justice system. It's affecting our schools. It's hard to blame these southern border governors for wanting to send some of these illegal immigrants to places that are far from where they're at. places that have liberal policies welcoming people to their sanctuary cities. You know, we, when I was Speaker of the House, we fought back really hard when some rogue bureaucrats tried to make Utah a sanctuary state. And we fought back and made sure that didn't happen. When I'm in the Senate, we're going to make sure that we build the wall, that we send troops to the border to make sure we close it down and prevent these kinds of things from happening over and over again like they are now.
Should states be able to arrest, detain, and deport migrants at the nation's border?
I absolutely believe they should. I mean, we are a republic. These borders, especially foreign borders, should be able to be protected by states, especially if the federal government is failing in their responsibility to do it. But I completely support Governor Abbott's ability and responsibility, quite frankly, to do just that.
Switching to the Ukraine war, should more money be spent in Ukraine? And do you agree with the House Republicans to withhold spending in both Ukraine and Israel until we get our border secure?
Well, I think it's interesting that people would blame Republicans for any failures that have or may occur in Ukraine. Biden was so slow to react when this conflict broke out, and his response was tepid at best at the beginning, but it emboldened Putin. And so for so many reasons, the reason we are the place we are is because of Biden's poor leadership. In terms of the border, you can't take care of things outside your house if your stuff at home isn't taken care of. And we've got to take care of things at home before we can start helping people across the seas in any kind of significant way. I think our commitment to Israel is a little different. I think we should keep the commitments we've made. And I'm supportive of what we're doing to try to support Israel, wipe Hamas off the face of the earth. But any support of Ukraine, which I think in many ways is very worthy, but not until we take care of things at home and we have a strategy that's been communicated to the American people about what that money needs to be used for and why, so people can decide whether it makes sense for them. And there's a lot more accountability for the money that's been spent. But we've got it backwards right now. We've got to make sure that our border is secure before we help other people protect theirs.
Final question regarding TikTok. The U.S. Senate will finally vote soon on whether or not to ban TikTok from the U.S. Now, the House has already passed this legislation. As Utah's senator, would you vote for such a ban, and why or why not?
You know, we cannot let the Chinese Communist Party continue to steal data from millions of Americans. And the Biden administration has been way too complacent in standing up to the CCP. And if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. I would look for all options in terms of what makes the most sense to ensure that Americans' data and privacy is protected. But I do support divesting TikTok's ownership to other ownership to an American company so we can make sure that data is protected.
Brad Wilson, who is running for U.S. Senate, is wrapping up his visit of Utah's 29 counties. Final question, what were your impressions of Daggett County while you were there?
It was great. we loved
good people, aren't they?
Up and over in Daggett County and Duchesne County and Uinta County, and yep, they are good people. And you know, Steve, that's the one thing that I was just actually telling some folks this morning on my team, that I have just enjoyed being in rural Utah so much. Just the most amazing people, hardworking people that just want what's best for our country and for their kids. And our country and our leadership in D.C. would be well served by having a healthy dose of rural Utah values.
All right. Thank you very much, Brad Wilson. If we wanted to learn more about your candidacy, where would we go to learn more about you?
Yeah, they can learn about me and why we've got 22 of the state's 29 sheriffs and more mayors and more lawmakers than anyone else supporting our campaign at electbradwilson.com.
All right, electbradwilson.com. Brad Wilson, thank you for reaching out to us and coming on the air with us here on News Talk KVEL.
Thanks so much, Steve. You have a great day.
All right. This is Steve Evans with News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL.